Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, let's go, Sophie and everybody else. We are the podcast.
Is that Hello. How you started?
That's how we started. Yes, it is. I was pumping up Sophie.
It made my day. He started off the call with a Sophie cheer. It was so cool.
It was exciting. Cute. It worked. Yeah, so, everybody else missed it, but that was it. We're back.
That's, you know what? I'm feeling an endorphin rush from that high energy salutation. And I don't know if you can tell by my voice.
Katie, there it is.
Pump,
although,
pump,
sorry
pump
to say, the energy, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
So I use, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I, for one, feel nothing but the fine flavor of cherry cola Zevia.
Is that good?
It's delightful.
It is.
They're not a sponsor, so we can be honest.
Are you boycotting a sponsor?
They're not
for
a sponsor. I bring this up because we, on a recent episode, referenced Zevia repeatedly because I had just spilled one on my laptop and temporarily destroyed it. It's better now. but I completely fucked it up and thought it was broken forever that day. And someone on
So I'm going to push back and say, I guess you didn't completely fuck it up. If it's now functioning.
Well, it had been at the time completely. It wouldn't turn on. So it was at the time, as far as I knew, completely fucked up. It's since gotten better. But someone got on Reddit and was like, this is clearly like a really poorly disguised advertisement for the company. And it was like,
Maybe we should
I was going to do, for one thing, I would happily take their money because I drink like 20 of these a fucking
day.
Robert,
I mean, it's 60% Zevia instead of water.
Their money, I'll take... the samples that they would send.
Yeah, I would absolutely take their money. But it's funny to me that they thought that like I would choose as a method of guerrilla advertising to talk about how the product destroyed my computer. Like,
it's effective.
Zevia, it'll really fuck up a laptop. Do you not want to have a computer?
Any beverage would fuck up a laptop. It's not Zevia specific. Look, I've never tried it.
Stolen Valor.
We've now mentioned it several times. I'm ready to try it. Zevia.
It tastes like a diet beverage with slightly less poison.
That's the thing. I am not partial to diet beverages.
Yeah, I drink them because they wash down the kratom. That is the only thing that keeps me functioning.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's my advertisement for Zevia.
You should have a substance
dependency.
Do a collab with Zevia, and it'll be the Zevia with kratom flavor.
This podcast is brought to you by Zevia and the concept of being addicted to an unregulated painkiller.
So we
it's kratom, right?
It's kratom. That's fun.
Kratom. It's kratom.
We've really flushed out this topic on our news show.
And now we're done. Thanks
it.
For listening.
We haven't even talked about who's
that's
going
been our
first,
episode.
What we want to talk about first.
What's in the news, everybody? How's your year going?
There are things.
Welcome to the best year ever. No, okay.
Things are good for everybody.
Across the board.
Remember, our friend Matt Getz is having a great time. He seems to be very happy. Other
that
people
feels like
seem
a good
to
place
happy,
to start.
A good Gates to start, Katie.
Oh, there it is. Everybody's on fire today. Real quick, I just want to say, yesterday I found myself shaking my head and muttering, this fucking year, man. And then I stopped and I was like, this fucking year and a half, man. I can't keep saying this year. It's bigger than that. And I think that's what we're trying to convey here at Worst Year Ever. That's all.
Yeah, that
2020 never ended and it never will end.
Yeah. We're in an endless spiral that has less to do with the year and more to do with the interlocking series of systems that govern our lives and are continually accelerating all of us towards an uncertain and likely doomed future. But that that was the initial title we pitched for this show, and corporate said that's like an entire paragraph.
It's
go
really
back
wordy.
And figure something else out. Yeah, and we did.
But let's Gates to the.
Gatesgate.
Let's Gates to Gatesgate.
Matt Gate. Let's do it.
Matt Gate. Oh, God. So
tall hair gate. Dude's got the tallest hair in the fucking country.
His hair's a disaster. His face is a disaster. Everything about him's a disaster. The
his personality.
Disaster about him.
I didn't realize he was
who he is. His actions,
a friend of
right?
Katie Hills. That
yeah,
was
he
to me.
He defended was it Katie Porter?
Katie Hill.
When she got her.
When those.
When the revenge porn stuff happened.
The most surprising thing I learned about him was that he actually had a pretty good response to that.
I
like,
know.
People shouldn't judge. Yeah. And now it makes sense because he knew some shit was going to come out about himself.
Guys, I had totally missed that he defended Katie Hill when all of this, stuff went down.
That surprised me, but I'm a man who can give credit where it's due.
Yeah. I wish I'd known about it to chat about it with her when she was on our show.
And she just said that if the allegations against him are true, he should resign and be prosecuted, so we should talk about these allegations. They all
Let's set it up.
Pretty
much
all of this stuff circles back to a former Seminole County tax collector named Joel Greenberg. Joel was in advertising until the age of 31 when he became became the tax collector of Seminole County. He like ran under a hard MAGA ticket. He very publicly, like when he won, started making all of his employees at the tax office open carry firearms. He got a badge for himself that said tax collector. He got in trouble for impersonating a law enforcement officer, which he did a couple of times. He fired employees of the tax collector's office who had supported the guy he'd been running against. He hired his friends. He spent an estimated $1.9 million on mix of body armor, firearms, cryptocurrency mining rigs, and other things. Like, just like shit for himself.
Yeah.
Like
toys.
Wow.
Are those all expenses? I keep wanting to imagine him driving around blasting that Beatles song, Taxman. Mm-hmm. You know, flashing his badge.
You have
badge.
To assume. He definitely flashed his badge. I think he called it like government cryptocurrency services or some shit like that. Government was in the name.
Was it government, though?
It was paid for and run out of government offices, but it was entirely for the profit of Joel Greenberg. So he started a cryptocurrency mining company, and he also started buying and then selling cryptocurrency rigs using taxpayer money, but gave the profits to himself.
That's right.
The crypto business that he started, he had to move it because it was creating too much heat and too much energy to another government office, which it then set on fire. It's so good. So this giant piece of shit. The exact nature of his relationship with Matt Gates is somewhat uncertain, but they appear to be friends.
They're bros.
A picture of them.
They're bros.
from the same, there's a picture of the two of them together with Roger Stone by Matt Gaetz, and Matt Gaetz says, like, hanging out with my buddy or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's from the same month and year that Joel Greenberg is being charged with sexually trafficking a minor, a 17-year-old. And one of the allegations against him are, I mean, I think he's currently facing 14 federal charges, but they're expected to be more, potentially even like dozens. Like he's in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. Among other things, he illegally used a state database to create fake IDs so that he could sexually traffic women, including teenage girls. not including women and teenage girls, I should say. A lot of bad stuff Joel Greenberg did. And it's. Like he pulled over and confronted a driver for speeding using his tax collector badge, which is he got
not a thing he's authorized to do.
Not a thing tax collectors
what
do.
What the hell?
In Florida, they barely collect taxes. the state attorney's office declined to press charges in that case, which in and of itself is fucking baffling. Greenberg, on another account, got pulled over himself for speeding and asked the officer for professional courtesy, saying, if there's any way on earth, I'm just trying to stay off the front page of the damn newspaper. Tax collector gets ticket. That's the kind of political crap I have to deal with, he said to the police officer.
You know, he's right. That would have really made some waves. Can you even imagine?
So I want to be exact in the amount of money this guy misused. $3.5 million in consultant contracts and salaries for people who were personal friends of his and some of his supporters. He gave a combined $644,000 of government money to three of his groomsmen and another $677,000 of government money to a campaign advisor. He wasted $1 million in taxpayer funds on body armor, weapons, ammunition, and a drone. He was... Yeah, I think just one drone. Right. Yeah, he was accused of using his access as an elected official to look up information about a minor who was a victim in a Florida driver and vehicle database. He's accused of the thing that actually got him initially in trouble was stalking a political opponent who was running against him, a teacher who he falsely accused of sexual misconduct with a student and of being a segregationist and in favor of white supremacy. He used fake Twitter and Facebook accounts to post private information about this person that he think he had obtained from government databases.
Robert, and you should be doing a Behind the Bastards on this dude.
We might. It's the kind of thing. There's not quite enough yet, just because I'm sure a lot more is going to come out as this case develops. Yeah. But anyway, this close friend of Matt Gaetz, who is accused of sexually trafficking a girl. During the same period of time, he took a picture with Roger Stone and Matt Gaetz. There were also reports that have come out in Washington Post and the New York Times that stated other people on Capitol Hill, other like Republicans saying, yeah, Matt Gaetz bragged about the access to women he got because he knew Joel Greenberg, who seems to have been doing something of like a pimping enterprise. So Gaetz showed pictures of naked women, bragged about doing illegal drugs and partying with them, and bragged about his friendship with Greenberg and how it gave him access to these women.
In the chambers.
And that's
access.
Why Gaetz...
Sorry.
Yeah. He bragged about this in Congress. And that is why... So the feds are now investigating Gaetz because Greenberg's... The investigation into Greenberg suggested that Gaetz may have... himself sexually trafficked, which in this case would probably mean having sex with a child that Greenberg was trafficking, but like he himself might have like moved that minor across state bounds. We don't exactly know, but he's being investigated for sex trafficking of a minor. In addition to that, because it's possible he did not the stuff about the minor will turn out he was not guilty of. The other stuff he's being accused of is sex trafficking in general, because he may have been paying for hotel rooms and flights and meals and just giving money, potentially even like campaign donations to women in exchange for sex, which is also a crime. And he may also have been like, he definitely was doing illegal drugs. He bragged about it to a bunch of people. There's some evidence of that, like evidence of him doing MDMA and shit. So it's bad.
Well, it's bad in the way that like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, if it were another person, it would be like some of the things, obviously, like the underage and like the sex trafficking is like terrible and abhorrent. But if it's like if it were like, OK, sex workers and drugs, I got no issue with that. Like technically, right? Like technically,
I wouldn't care if you're a congressman guy or a lady who thinks those things should be legal anyway.
Exactly. Like he has demanded like drug testing to qualify for like welfare programs and things like that. Like it's antithetical to who he is as a legislator.
You could say it's demanding, hypocritical.
Yeah, demanding drug testing for people to receive welfare and then using campaign contributions to pay for drugs for prostitutes.
Oh, using the campaign contributions in general is also bad.
There's a lot that is a problem. If he were like, if he weren't using campaign money and if he were like a straight up, like, I think sex work and drugs should all be legal, I would be like, okay, this guy's living his truth, you know? Mm-hmm. As long as everyone's an adult, as long as everybody's consenting, I don't really give a shit.
But on the surface, villainizing and working against the interests of a certain group while also abusing them.
Yes.
So do you think he's going to resign?
I don't know. It kind of depends because we don't know. As much joy as Twitter has had about, like, as much shit
I mean,
as
he said he won't.
About, like, the allegations of... Yes. As much has come down about the allegations of child sex trafficking, we don't know that he did, and we don't know that he'll get charged with that, right? The FBI did not come out and say we're investigating, because they don't say that. Like, they don't comment on ongoing investigations. We know there's an investigation. We know that whatever was found was bad enough that the former attorney general under Trump, what was his fucking name?
Doesn't matter.
The former AG under Trump
Sessions, the other guy.
Barr?
No. The last one. Was warned not to be demanded that he not be like stopped attending events that Gates would be at because he didn't want to be photographed with him. So it is bad enough that Barr didn't want to be seen with this guy because he knew some about what was going to come out. Again, we don't know. It's possible like that the investigation will conclude and they'll charge him with a bunch of stuff, but none of it will involve child sex trafficking because maybe he wasn't involved in that part of it. We really don't know at this stage if the feds charge him with child sex trafficking. Number one, the vast majority of the time, if the feds charge you, you either plea or wind up getting like declared guilty because as a general rule, the feds don't throw out charges unless they're pretty fucking confident that they can argue them in a court of law. If the feds charge him with child sex trafficking, it is a minimum 10-year prison sentence. I mean, and the max is obviously life in prison. I don't know that I think that's likely because it looks like he was more on the consumer end of this than the than Greenberg, who I think might go away forever. Because it's like Greenberg might have actually been pimping children across state lines. I think it was more likely Gates was kind of was a John, I guess you'd say.
Did you mention that he was photographed literally in the office after hours with Greenberg on a security cam?
Yes,
duplicating IDs. Or creating fake IDs.
Gates was
photographed. I believe there was that this started off. Oof, we should double check this as I'm saying it, but I'll set it up.
I know Greenberg had done that.
According to one of the people familiar with the matter, an employee at the tax collector's office saw Greenberg and Gates on internal office surveillance video looking through driver's licenses on a weekend evening. In a text message exchange shared with CNN that the source said was between Greenberg and the employee, Greenberg confirmed he was in the office, quote, showing Congressman Gates what our operation looked like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
That was the other
shared the information with prosecutors from local. Yeah.
You always, as a sitting congressman, want to see what a state tax collector's office looks
operation
like,
looks
how
like.
They,
yeah.
How they make IDs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's
I see.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The details ID traveling might be muddying the waters, but regardless, Matt Gaetz was in this place.
I mean, especially if they can tie, and I don't know that they'd be able to, but like if Greenberg was making fake IDs for underage girls in order to traffic them across state lines, and Matt Gaetz had any sort of hand in that, even if he was just standing there while
literally
it was done,
watching,
honestly,
yes, exactly,
that's a problem.
Like that could be. Matt Gaetz is, oh boy.
Yeah.
So bad. So the thing that's interesting to me about this is that Gaetz has a reputation. His dad's rich as hell. His family is powerful. He had a reputation in his hometown of being like a spoiled rich kid who got away with everything, right? He had some like drunk driving shit in his background. He's just a rich asshole who never had to deal with consequences. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's not someone who deals with consequences. And you get this, I think Greenberg's the same way, because they were both just criming. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think about, right, like, I'm a white dude, you know, I benefit from plenty of privilege. But as when I was young, like, I remember driving home with weed that I'd bought and like taping it to the inside of my thigh and like almost having a panic attack just seeing a police officer on the road. And this like this nightmare every time I went to buy weed just because I was so frightened of potentially like getting caught. And Matt Gaetz is just out here just criming.
Well,
like,
well, it's a combination of
and
of
thinking
that
it'll
too,
be
right?
fine.
Well, because yeah. like. I mean, he usually is, because it's like, it's part of it is the, like, his upbringing and his, like,
yes.
experience yeah. with, like, getting away with everything. And part of it is like, oh, I'm, like, fucking the Trump train. Trump train, yeah. you can say whatever the fuck you want and do whatever you want, and there are no consequences. And
we're gonna
so
be in power
like, yeah.
forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
America loves its bad boys. America loves the... A handsome... I'm not saying he's handsome, but some might call,
too late,
call
on the record.
Him as such. You know... White man,
he's
arrogant.
He's certainly a human male.
He's
yeah.
a human male, you know.
No
they
one
like
can
that.
Take
People
that
respond
away from
to that bullshit.
Yeah,
I will say I get frustrated when, whenever a story of a lawmaker with inappropriate whatevers comes up, we immediately turn to Al Franken as like, oh, shouldn't have done this. See, learn from our past. And my whole thing is that I very much respect, I still respect what Al Franken did, because it didn't actually make a goddamn bit of difference at the end of the day. The person that replaced him votes the same. I just get really frustrated that Al Franken's legacy is now, he shouldn't have done that. When actually what he did was...
Yeah,
the right thing to do.
What you'd expect.
And
yeah.
you
did,
would expect that just
thing. Yeah.
because we know that nobody else will do it either doesn't mean that that was the mistake, you know? And again, it didn't change anything from us except mm-hmm. for us, except maybe some less entertaining cross-examinations and hearings.
Sure.
That's yeah, the thing that I wanted to bring up.
It's one of those things. It, I don't know. Like, for one thing, I'm actually... The similarity, I guess, between the two is that they both were accused of doing bad things, and Franken admitted to, you know, physical, what I think would be like physical assault is probably fair to say. Certainly sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Matt Gaetz is being accused of sexually trafficking a child while a sitting congressman.
Mean, there's no comparing these two things, of course, like in terms
Not
of like,
to,
also
you know,
that equates Al yeah. Franken with people that are evil. You know, whereas that was a fucked up thing he did. And I'm glad that he is accountable for it and hopefully has grown and learned from this experience. But it's different.
Yeah, I mean, one of the differences would be that I think the proper
the sex trafficking
response
part.
For what. Well, yeah, that's a big one. But I think also like, OK,
instead of like honking on someone's being, boobs, like.
Yeah, being caught doing what Al Franken did, the proper consequence was, yeah, you should step away. Like you lose your job, you lose your place in the spotlight, like because you did a thing and you should step away. The proper consequence for sexually trafficking a child is significantly more severe, you know?
He's assuming not going to resign. That's what he He'll did, be in you know? Prison serving. He'll be like, "Look, we can work from anywhere after 2020."
And I think the only, like, the only, he probably won't resign. He might get fucking reelected. The way to get rid of him is if he goes to prison, mostly. But I do think that there is a small chance he will resign because nobody in the party actually likes him.
Yeah.
He is an unlikable trash person. And nobody in his party likes him. So it's not even, like, there's an element of, like, they don't even want him around. Like, this is an excuse to get rid of him, if anything. If it was any different, like if not even that they don't like him, but it's like, I have no opinion on that guy. They would be going to bat for him.
Yeah.
But nobody really is going to bat for him.
Jim Jordan.
Except for Jim Jordan.
But like not really, course, just kind of.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, Jim Jordan has strong feelings on sexually trafficking minors.
Yeah.
Positive strong feelings, I should say.
He's like, man, cut me in next time, bro.
He is for against them.
It is funny that Gaetz was the only member of the House to vote against a human trafficking bill.
Really? Yeah. Interesting, government. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's incredible.
Fun little tidbit.
Yeah. Smart guy. Really.
Hey.
Smart guy. Anyway, he's a piece of shit. It's funny that bad things are happening to him. It's not funny that he probably, well, that he allegedly contributed to harm to a child, and it's not funny. Well, it is kind of funny that he was engaging with prostitutes and doing illegal drugs while arguing that those things should stay illegal.
It's a very dark comedy.
Caught. That's why it's
very
funny.
Very dark comedy. Yeah. We got to take a break for the ad advertisements.
Ads.
The French.
Welcome to the worst year ever.
I don't understand what the big fat ones are. You don't put those inside of you, do you? I mean, you do?
Yes. This is a show about women.
Okay, so I just reapply my lip gloss after eating a delicious lunch. We are headed back now to European Political Systems class at Baruch College. Woo!
Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. That's it. That's actually the name of the show. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world. It's like reality TV on the radio.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway listening to the B-52s. And looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Back from the ads.
We're back.
Back from the ads.
Ooh, I needed that little infusion of energy, Cody. Thank you.
Yeah.
It did not make my head immediately start to pound.
Heck yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Before we move on, my favorite part of the Joel Greenberg, my favorite part of the Joel Greenberg saga is that he was a crypto guy. Like, it was just he's sexually trafficking children. He's moving pounds. He's doing all this illegal stuff. He's impersonating a police officer. He's stalking his political opponents. And he's running an illegal crypto rig that lit a government office on fire.
That's right. Right, the fire.
So many yummy details here.
If he wasn't probably incarcerated for the rest of his life following his trial, I'm sure he would have gotten involved in NFTs.
Absolutely.
Still don't know still don't want to know.
It's an okay, NFT they're crashing like, already.
Imagine if you could look at a JPEG and it would destroy 4 acres of forest in the Amazon.
and not be worth anything in a few weeks.
What a dream.
I would say instantly not worth anything.
Instantly is also very, yeah. But I'm just trying to give a little.
That's just
a little,
based on
little,
my
little
own
room.
Moral judgment of value. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, we should move.
Should we talk about forward. Other things, like potentially yeah. vaccine passports? Sure. I want to talk about vaccine passports.
Tell us, Katie.
Yeah, right. I only support them if it's exactly like the scene in the third Indiana Jones movie when Indiana Jones is demanding tickets in mm-hmm. the blimp, and then the guy doesn't have a ticket. Well, the guy realizes that he's not a real ticket collector, and he punches the man out of the blimp. And
I think it could work like that.
Only if the consequence is being thrown out of a blimp.
By Harrison Zeppelin. Ford.
By Harrison Ford, specifically, yes. We gotta better hurry up, yeah.
Yeah,
we gotta hurry. Gotta, he's gonna crash. He's gonna crash a plane into Santa Monica for the last time soon.
Oh hell, where's your ticket?
So those of you guys that don't know, a vaccine passport is a government issued card or a smartphone badge that states that the bearer has been vaccinated against coronavirus. And it's been in the news a lot lately, or at least it's been in the zeitgeist and on Twitter, you know, people arguing about it. And, you know, it's pretty easy for us to knee-jerk disagree with conservatives these days, I think. Collectively, it's fun to dunk on Dr. Drew when he tweets about not wanting to need a vaccination in order to fly and remind him that, yeah, actually a lot of countries do require vaccinations before you enter. You know, it's not a new concept, so that's fun. But it's not to say that people pushing back against vaccine passports are wrong. It's a complicated conversation. I think a lot of people probably do agree that proof of vaccination is good, at least for like international travel. You know, going other places again.
Yeah.
This is not something new. And the argument being that, you know, people would need to show proof of vaccination before entering certain establishments and businesses, and would say that this would be very helpful in stopping the spread and also encouraging people to get vaccinated. But it raises a lot of very important ethical questions that aren't exactly – they aren't easy to answer, you know. For one, in general, vaccinations and vaccines – at this point are going overwhelmingly to rich countries and even within those countries to privileged racial groups within them. So granting rights to people that are vaccinated while also keeping other groups restricted, you know, is dangerous. It widens the social gap. And then specifically here in America, both culturally and politically, you can't just force somebody to get vaccinated, you know. Individual liberty is kind of our thing, and so like if that's true, which it is, can a business discriminate against a person who chooses not to be vaccinated? Can an employer tell an employee that they can't work until they're vaccinated? Is that's not, you know, it's not legal.
Yeah, the only thing that like there's a couple of things that concern me. One of them is I'm not concerned with saying, hey, people from rich countries, if you're going to go vacation in a poorer part of the world, you need to be vaccinated,
yeah.
and
yeah.
we won't let you go. I am concerned about it kind of working in the other way, in part because that's like there's been a, as you stated, where vaccines go has been heavily dependent upon like wealth. And I'm just not super cool with the idea of restricting poor people from traveling, but letting rich people go to their countries to get drunk on the beach. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem rad. And I'm also concerned about having the passports be something domestically, because I don't like the idea of having any kind of domestic passport that determines when and where you can go into a business. I feel like, yeah, anyway,
it's hard because you want to get people back. You want businesses and economy to get, you know, you want things to get back on track at some point. And it's hard at this stage when we're a country that's so divided. And yes, vaccinations are up, but you know, they use this as a thing, like get your vaccination and then everything can go back to normal. But again, you just can't do it. You know?
Not everyone is gonna get it. And like, yeah, if you're a restaurant, but also yeah, if you like own a restaurant or something, like I want my entire staff to be vaccinated. Well, can you not do that or
be,
not?
This yeah, would be like a lot easier morally if we had some sort of a basic income. Although that said,
you're right.
There is right now we're in a situation where an awful lot of businesses are like particularly service businesses aren't able to hire enough employees because the unemployment benefits are decent enough and people don't want to risk their lives working at the Sparrow during a pandemic. Yep. Which I think
Line Cook specifically
broadly
is like,
speaking
yeah.
good. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and one other thing I wanted to mention, I mean, that's a that's a good point, Robert. But one other thing I wanted to mention about passports is access question that it raises. So the easiest way to carry a vaccination passport would be on your smartphone. But of course, not everybody has access to that. And yes, physical cards are an option, but those are very easy to lose, et cetera. So what is that? What does this create? You know, people with more access are more likely to be able to keep and carry one of these things.
Yeah. And like, like also like how much information do you like that? Do you, how much identifying information do you want on your smartphone? You know, you want your health trackable. Do you want all these
right.
things?
Right.
That's me, I guess.
But another thing, what's frustrating about the conversation, though, a little bit, although not surprising, is that at this point anyway, Biden isn't actually calling for a federal vaccination passport.
No.
As far as I can tell anyway, I mean, maybe they're being sneaky about it and political, but I don't think that that's a good politics for them. You know, and Jen Psaki. Is that, am I pronouncing it right?
Psaki. Yeah.
Psaki.
Yeah, it's close enough.
You know, she said there will not be a centralized federal database showing who in the country has received vaccinations, and there are no plans for any federal mandate that all citizens have a vaccination credential. So it's interesting, but not surprising, is that this is all being framed as Democrats and Big Brother, whereas what's actually happening right now is that the Biden team is you know, speaking with different industries and talking about how they would work within those realms, which maybe we shouldn't be entertaining. I don't know. That's the moral question. But I do understand that in facility like gyms and different facilities where that it has to at least be talked about how we are proceeding from this point forward.
But at the same time, yeah, like gyms, you know, gyms have been open. There have been gyms open.
Right.
Without the vaccine. You know, whether it's like, okay, well, you can't like require people to get the vaccine. So do the safety measures still, things like that. Like, what are you going to do? It's not, they're not saying they're going to do it. It's a conversation that's being had. And not just because like the Biden is going out to these like industries, because it's the logical conversation you would have in this situation.
And every country in the world is having this conversation.
Right. It's
maybe
like,
not every country, but most countries.
And maybe, like, you know, it's going to be a quick conversation and people will land on, like, well, no, we're not going to do that. The fact that the conversation is being had I think is, like, generally at least good to discuss.
But the rhetoric of this is Democrats wanting to have control over all of
the communist Democrats.
But it's frustrating to see because that's not the conversation. That's not actually what's happening. And it also kind of undermines what we're doing right now. It clouds the conversation. It adds more fuel to this, you know, rhetoric, and it continues to polarize the country about vaccinations and science and just how we get out of this, which is why I wanted to, part of why I wanted to bring it up, because it's just we're not going to solve it here, but it's frustrating.
No, it is frustrating. Yeah, and like it's an extension of, you know, what, a year ago, former president, current loser Trump decided to make mask wearing political. He made it a culture war issue, and then here we are. And that has extended now to the vaccine and all the stuff we're talking about. To the point where you get people like, well, now, like, I've seen people compare, like, the idea of this vaccine passport to the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah, that was so, God, Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's okay, actually disgusting what she said.
I'm sure all of the people doing that have opinions about the Holocaust that are, shall we say, ahistorical.
Yeah,
Marjorie Taylor Greene called the passport idea, quote, Biden's mark of the beast. And other conservative activists are comparing it.
Yeah. Policies. And like, it's just this extension of like, yeah, it's very frustrating.
It's just what happens with everything now. Like, it's what happens with absolutely everything now. If there were like massive unprecedented flooding that, let's say, 100 million Americans were forced out of their homes, and Joe Biden advised people to use like inflatable rafts to escape the flooding, it would drowning would become a culture war issue.
Absolutely.
That's just the way.
Yeah, they'd be posting like, I'm going to burn my raft. Watch my video. Yeah. I'm no longer buying these rafts from this company.
Yeah. Your little fucking coward boats. I'm a man.
Exactly. Yeah.
I struggle against the tide until I drown.
Yeah. Commies invented rafts and I will have nothing to do with them.
That would be Ted Cruz's last tweet.
Before drowning. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh God. We shouldn't talk about things that are that optimistic. Yeah, you know, it's a bummer. Everything's frustrating. It's one of those things you mentioned, Katie, like getting back on track, going back to the way things were. I think one of the things that's a bummer is that I think the things we'll get back to, there will be some positives. We'll be able to go to concerts again. We will go to festivals again. That's going to be nice. Being able to just sit in a bar.
Real nice.
I think we're all looking forward to just sitting down in a goddamn bar. That will be nice. But the stuff that's worst and that has continued to be bad during the pandemic never got off track.
Yep.
This like a constantly accelerating culture war. And the stuff that's good, for example, low income workers in the service industry being able to just not work because the unemployment benefits are good enough, and actually being able to exert some influence and force against their employers, that's going to go away like fucking that.
Yeah,
that's a bummer because it's rad. And I don't like, I wasn't happy with the way things were before the pandemic. Not super happy with the pandemic either, mind you. But I don't know.
No, you're right. Getting back to normal, it's irresponsible to say we're trying to get back on track without also acknowledging the tracks being bad.
Where the tracks come from.
The tracks are rusty and broken.
Yeah.
And the trains keep going off and starting a brush fire.
If you're on a train that's going over a giant poop swamp and its destination is an enormous pile of poop, you would prefer to be on the train than off of the tracks in the poop swamp. But also the train, like the train reaching its destination, isn't going to solve your problems either. Either way, you're going to wind up covered in shit.
Statistics, you know? Questions that I could never get right.
The answer is to firebomb the poop swamp from the sky. But yeah, well, poop burns pretty well.
Yeah, next stop, rubble.
Next stop, rubble, which solves all... Okay, so maybe I don't have any solutions.
There are none.
I mean, fight for expanded benefits that are just a thing everyone gets so that workers can at least continue to exercise more agency.
Learn the lessons from the pandemic and work for a world where, like, if it happens again, it won't be that situation. We will have stronger.
I mean, hopefully, some things end up sticking. Some things that I am hopeful stick. I mean,
you know, it'll stick.
There are
the
lots
wall.
Of,
sorry,
there's lots of stuff in the pipeline, like, you know, HR1. We talked about that on Even More News last week. Some great things in there. This isn't talking about workers' rights right now, the last COVID relief bill, how direct payments to families with children have been authorized for a year, but they plan on making that a permanent legislation or pushing for it. And, you know, as we've talked about on these shows a lot, once you establish something, it's really hard to walk it back when people get used to it. I'm hopeful that there are some things and perhaps, maybe some expansion of unemployment benefits. But when you talk about this in conjunction with vaccine passports, like we just did, and you know that workers rightfully don't want to go back to less money for dangerous situations. It's hard to imagine that won't be fought against by lawmakers anyway.
Yeah. And it's, you know,
attempt to inject something positive.
Yeah. I don't know. They're getting back to work on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Like, got to fill in those gaps. We got to build back better. The wall.
Build the wall back better.
Exactly.
I don't know.
That's fun for them. And like, it's just, Yeah. It's a. So many of these things are so hard to remove from, like, the toxic culture war stuff that it's hard to even say, like, what will happen because.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You just don't know.
Yeah. Well, like, for example, like Katie, you mentioned the HR 1. And in response to that, you have Georgia and their election law. And then you have companies responding to that. And then Congress people responding to the companies for being too woke and like threatening like good legislation simply because of like a woke company. And it's just, yeah, it's like,
yeah,
it's nonsense.
You know, that's really interesting, and I think we should dig into it right after we take a quick ad break.
Ooh.
Because Sophie just texted and said ad break, so I am effortlessly
Sophie, texting ad break.
Also, if I'm being honest between you, my four close friends, and the thousands of people listening, I have to pee.
Oh. Yeah.
So I would like to take the ad break.
It's time.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
I don't understand what the big fat ones are. You don't put those inside of you, do you? I mean, you do?
Yes.
This is a show about women.
Okay, so I just reapply my lip gloss after eating a delicious lunch. We are headed back now to European Political Systems class at Baruch College. Woo!
Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. That's it. That's actually the name of the show. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world. It's like reality TV on the radio.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway listening to the B-52s. And looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet-sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything's so dumb, 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 dumb.
Hey!
Hey!
Now we're back.
Yeah, welcome back to the big, exciting, high energy show that cheers for Sophie specifically.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are we gonna do the 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out segment? Oh, cool.
It's we're just going to repeat that over and over and over for the next 10 minutes.
Wait, are we talking about baseball? Because I will tell you right now.
We're talking about baseball.
I do not consent to this.
We're talking about baseball and soda. And soda pop.
Oh. And you love soda pop, Robert. Uh-huh. We just went into detail about your love of Zevia.
Let me.
Yeah.
Spill it.
That was so satisfying.
It's a really good sound.
It did sound refreshing. All right, Cody.
Kind of like Dr. Pepper, but not all that much.
Take us away on baseball.
We're also talking about wokeness. Yeah. So as I'm sure everybody knows, and we've alluded to and talked about before, Georgia has a bill about election laws that is not so great for access to voting. It is being framed as sort of like really like enforcing like election integrity. But it makes voting harder in several ways. We have an episode on Even More News that delves deep into this.
Yeah, we talked with the guys over and gal over at 5-4 Podcast, which is an awesome podcast that breaks down Supreme Court decisions, and they're fun and funny. Anyway, check that out. We talk about voting rights, HR 1.
Yeah, right. Yeah, check it out. And in response to this, some companies have made either statements or moves, much like many companies do when they feel something is politically safe or could possibly benefit them monetarily, like companies do. They don't mean it. They're not like, oh,
you
fucking
mean they don't actually care about people? They care about their products?
Only? Yeah, it's not like woke ass Coca-Cola. It's just like, yeah, Coca-Cola is like, oh, we'll do this because that's where the wind is blowing. That's how it happens. It's why it happens. Also today, Coca-Cola stock outperformed the market. Had a strong trading day on an otherwise poor trading day. So it worked. Congratulations, Coca-Cola, despite all these people trying to cancel
you. Wait, what did Coca-Cola do to boycott this? Or to push back on this?
I think they just said it was bad, right?
They just said
it, yeah. That's all they did was say it was bad?
It's not like MLB actually like did a thing, but Coca-Cola was just like, we don't like this bill, and everyone went fucking crazy.
Exactly.
Those foolish fucks. We all know Coca-Cola is superior to Pepsi. Fight me on it.
Arguably accurate, but Dr. Pepper is the superior beverage.
Dr. Zevia.
RC Cola.
Dr. Zevia.
Splash it up if you're a fan.
Ah.
But yeah, the CEO
that's
of...
That's good.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Is that your... What number is that for you today?
You don't want to answer
this is just
that
two
question.
For the day.
No, you're so lying.
No, just two.
That it's two
no,
in the last 30 minutes. You're full of shit, Robert.
I know, but I
actually,
I just I woke
Zevia,
up
Zevia, Robert.
Sophie,
you're full of Zevia.
I woke up at 11:30. I drank two pots of coffee, and then I had my first Zevia when we got on the phone, and now
that
I'm on my
out.
Second. Thank you very much.
I'm very proud. Don't
smile, Zevia. Do not Zevia shame him.
I'm not. I'd rather him drink Zevia than a lot of other things he drinks. But he just smiled and looked down because he knew he was lying. He totally had more than two.
I am not. These are the only two for today yet so far. I'll drink like 6 to 9 more.
Yeah, I know.
But that's all I've
eventually.
Had so far.
This is a very long tangent,
yeah,
Cody.
Exactly.
May you continue.
Well, so the CEO of Coca-Cola said, let me be crystal clear and unequivocal. This legislation is unacceptable.
Like it crystal is... Pepsi.
Exactly. Yeah. It is a step backward and it does not promote principles we have stood for in Georgia around broad access to voting, around voter convenience, about ensuring election integrity. And this is frankly just a step backwards. And then they canceled the Coca-Cola. Many Republicans came out outrage, one might say. Maybe one could even refer to them as being triggered by this. But yeah, no, it's just a statement. It's not like the Major League Baseball moved the All-Star game from Georgia to Colorado. And that also got them canceled or boycotted, whichever side of the issue you're on.
Bullshit.
It really depends, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Because cancel culture is a meaningless phrase that has actually always existed. It is an evaluation of a society's values and acceptance of those values and enforcement of them via these like a boycott. That's what it is.
This is also like these companies are reading the winds, guys. They're not.
That is literally what it is.
They're reading the winds. So maybe you should, too. I don't know.
Well, so yeah, so here's the thing. When this happened, all these fucking senators, like Ted Cruz, is now trying to work to end MLB's antitrust immunity. But like, it's all based off of this like framing of it's because they're woke. Josh Hawley, the woke capitalists continue their campaign in retaliation. They shouldn't have this, and it's just like this bizarre framing of like, well, if you're a corporate woke company, then we're gonna go after you. if you're not, then I guess we won't, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's their relationship with these companies. And now they're saying, like, well, Colorado has laws that are very similar to the ones Georgia passed, and that's not true either. Colorado's had absentee voting for quite a long time. Most people vote by mail, like 90% of people vote by mail. It makes it easier to vote in Colorado. It does not do that in Georgia. There are a lot of pieces out there you can find that delve into it from election experts. It's just another, they got tired of talking about Dr. Seuss. So here we are. And they're framing it like they're like these anti-corporate populists or whatever. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. Literally, McConnell came out today against these woke corporations. Parts of the private sector keep dabbling in behaving like a woke parallel government. Corporations will invite serious consequences if they become a vehicle for far-left mobs to hijack our country from outside the constitutional order. So if you're a company that does things that they don't like, they will go after you, is what he basically said.
Okay, that sounds better.
He confirmed.
That's different
so
from
like,
cancel culture for reasons.
It's very different from cancel culture for reasons. I'm going to, one little extra bit from McConnell, this quote about MLB, Coke, and Delta, who all did different kinds of things. Coke just made a fucking statement. My warning to corporate America is to stay out of politics. He added, I'm not talking about political contributions.
Of course he's not.
That's
what a
it.
Fucking weasel. What an absolute.
Laying it all out there. Just laying it all out. That's the deal. That's what they're doing. They're full of shit completely. Nothing matters. You're a person. If you're a company, you're a person. If you give them money, but if you have a statement from your CEO about a law, then they go after you. It's
that was
all
an impressive thing to say. Like
bullshit.
It's amazing. It's amazing. We want your money, but shut up.
Powerful energy from the dying Mitch McConnell. The crumbling body
of
Mitch McConnell.
Your bank accounts are fine.
And, like, they're not going to do anything. Like, this antitrust stuff, all this stuff, they're not actually, they can't actually go after corporations because they've spent decades and decades building a relationship between politics and corporations. That's what they have done. If they actually believed any of this, McConnell wouldn't have said the contributions part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too much into it. It's all there. Everybody's a liar. It's so frustrating to watch.
Everybody is a liar. I hate it.
Like even I see all these takes sort of like, actually, if you look into the Georgia law, it's this and this and this. It's for fraud and this. Brian,
I know.
The governor Kemp literally said is on tape saying it's not about voter fraud. So like.
So what is
it like just like a constant flow of just like trying to take these people at their word, and I don't know possibly why you would ever do that other than you want to help them with their bullshit. It's just frustrating, and I don't even have a point with this. It's just woke means nothing. It's a meaningless word. They say that Coca-Cola is a woke communist company for their CEO saying they didn't like a law, but please give us money still. It's all just dog shit.
Seems like kind of a theme for this episode.
Cancel culture
show.
Means nothing. They're calling for boycotts of these companies. That's going to
be the hill we die on is debunking cancel culture.
It's not even like debunking because it's like it's always been a thing. It's just they're calling it this new insidious left-wing Marxist. I know you are. I know.
You know the actual cancel culture that Coca-Cola was involved in?
Well, they canceled cocaine out of their drink.
They did do that, but also between 1990 and 2002, they hired hitmen from a prominent paramilitary right-wing group to murder left-wing activists in Colombia.
That's news to me.
Robert, what the fuck?
Yeah, they killed at least 10 labor union leaders who were trying...
They canceled the labor union.
They canceled at least 10 labor union leaders who were trying to organize Coca-Cola plants.
Uh-oh. I think I've got to need to switch my my Coca-Cola allegiance. What is
that's the thing.
Zevia's?
No allegiance to any
the
of these
soda
fuckers.
That,
like,
what's the Zevia? What's Zevia's Coke?
Oh,
is it just Zoke?
Zevia backs. They back a ton of death squads.
Damn.
Of course they do. They all do.
Absolutely.
Make your own soda.
But Zevia is made in Los
Angeles. This episode brought to you by
SodaStream. Which means Zevia's death squads are you. Zevia doesn't, unlike Coca-Cola, who goes out of the United States to hire assassins. When we have out of work murderers here,
mm-hmm.
Zevia
exactly,
hires
exactly.
local assassins to murder labor union leaders, and that's
America
what we need
first.
From a beverage.
It's not great, but it's something. I think that does it for us today.
Yeah, we're done.
I think that's going to do it for us today.
Yeah. We got to stop. We got to get out of here.
But you know what? I'm just going to leave it with you with this. Keep it real.
What?
Yeah.
Damn, Katie.
I tried something out. It didn't work. It didn't work.
I liked it.
But I'm going to double down. Keep it real, y'all.
Hell yeah.
Keep it real.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb and it's gonna get dumber.
Great. I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.